Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov.
Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. Salt Lake City just received a big loan from the feds to swap out lead pipes in our drinking water system for copper ones. It's part of a national effort to replace every lead service line over the next 10 years. But it opens up a lot of questions for Salt Lakers, like, where are the lead pipes? What should we do if we have them? And most importantly, is our drinking water safe? It's Wednesday, April 10th. I'm Emily Means, filling in for Ali Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Laura Briefer, Salt Lake City Public Utilities Director. The city just got a $39 million loan from the federal government to replace lead pipes in our drinking water system. So, of course, the big question, I think, is there lead in our drinking water?
We can confidently say we do not have lead in our drinking water. We test all of our sources of drinking water, but when lead is present in water, it is typically because it's come in contact with a lead pipe.
Okay. And so where do we have lead pipes?
Well, one of the really great things about our water system is we do not have lead pipes in our main distribution and transmission lines. So all of the city's public mains and distribution lines. Where lead might occur in piping would be premise plumbing at homes and in lead service lines. And lead service lines are those lines that come from the water main to a meter and then into a home or business.
Okay. So we are talking about like a property's private water pipe, essentially.
Yes. So lead service lines actually are typically owned by both the public entities. So Salt Lake City owns the portion of the lead service line that goes from the main to the meter. And then from the meter to the home or business is the responsibility of the landowner.
So Laura, where in Salt Lake City is this a problem? And do we understand the scale of it at this point?
Sure. Well, first of all, it's probably important to know that lead was banned under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act in 1986. So what we're looking at are homes and business or structures that were constructed prior to 1986 within our water service area that's not only Salt Lake City, but also includes portions of Mill Creek, Holiday, Cottonwood Heights, Murray, Midvale, and South Salt Lake.
Okay, so that's a lot, potentially. A lot of homes.
Yes, so it's overall on our entire water system, we have something like a little less than 90,000 connections. And so what we've been doing systematically, and this was actually part of a federal requirement under the lead and copper rule revisions of 2021, but we have consistently been doing records review and other types of investigation to do an inventory of lead service lines. And really what we're looking at in terms of scale, it's typically those structures that were constructed prior to the 1950s. Because after the 1950s, it was Salt Lake City's policy that we would be using copper lines. But we are looking at everything 1986 and prior, but the majority of that would be if a home or a structure was constructed before the 1950s.
And we do have a lot of homes in Salt Lake City, particularly in like the avenues and I would say maybe East Bench type communities. Is that kind of where you're looking? Do you have a sense of the location?
Yeah. So it's actually pretty widespread across our service area where we might have homes or other structures that would have been constructed during that timeline where lead service lines could be a problem. But we do see clusters, as you said, sort of in the Avenues, Federal Heights area, also some of our West Side communities. I mean, there are subdivisions throughout the service area where lead service line pipe might have been used. We've seen some in the Ballpark community as well. So we do have sort of clusters where homes and other structures were constructed during that time throughout our service area.
Okay, Laura, I need you to explain to me, because if it is the case that there are lead service lines out there, how is it not in our water supply? You said that our water is not contaminated with lead.
Yeah, so we have tested the sources of our drinking water. That includes our surface water sources that come from the Wasatch Mountains, as well as our groundwater sources. And we do not find lead at those source areas or at the treatment plant once it leaves the treatment plant. We're also not finding it in the public distribution system. And we're really not finding it when we, on a triennial basis, sample select homes in our service area that could be candidates for having lead in their plumbing based on the date of construction. And the reason why we're not finding it is largely due to the quality of the water that's coming into the system. So some water could be corrosive, which means that it tends to dissolve the material of the water line as it flows through or settles into that water line. Our water is not corrosive. And in fact, it leaves, if you cut into any of our water lines, you can see it's left a calcium deposit on the inside of the line.
Laura, I am wondering, how can folks check to see if there's lead in their pipes? You know, can I just cut it open and, you know, that's how I know, or what?
Well, that certainly is one way, but and really that would normally happen if you were planning to replace your service line anyway.
Okay.
So if you had a plumber that was coming in to replace your portion of the service line, you certainly could see very quickly what material your service line is made of. But there are easier ways to check, and we actually have a step-by-step guideline or guidance on our website that shows exactly how to check the material of your line. And it's just as simple as going into your house and looking at the area where your service line comes into your house and looking at the material that it's made of. And we have some really good tips online as to how to assess what kind of material that is.
You know, I would guess that that more so applies to homeowners. We know we have a city full of renters, Laura. How can they make sure that their pipes are good?
Yeah, if you are renting a home or an apartment, any kind of dwelling in our city, and you suspect that the construction of your dwelling fits in that pre-1986 timeline, you can request the landowner or building owner or property manager to either reach out to Salt Lake City Public Utilities to work with us to identify what material those service lines are made of, or follow the step-by-step instruction and look at the material of those service lines. We have been doing records reviews of a lot of these facilities too, so we may actually have the answer to that question if someone is curious as well.
So ultimately, Salt Lake City is looking to replace all of these lead service lines, right? That's what the federal loan is for. What kind of process is this going to be? I can imagine it might make things really difficult for folks who live in those houses with lead pipes.
Yeah. So right now, the requirement under the Federal Safe Drinking Water Act is first to inventory all of our lead service lines by October of 2024. And Salt Lake City is well on its way to completing that ahead of time. We still have some lines where it's unknown what the material is. But that's the first step. We anticipate that the Lead and Copper Rule Improvements Act will be adopted sometime this fall. And that will require water systems to replace all lead service lines in 10 years from that date. We are going to be focusing on schools and daycare centers, because young children are the most susceptible to some of the adverse impacts of lead in drinking water. And we're also going to be looking at our disadvantaged communities. That's kind of the prioritization for us right now. And we're still in the process of developing the full program of all of that lead service line replacement.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's Day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea, very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's, or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave, and they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo.
I think when people think about lead contamination, they're probably most familiar with the Flint, Michigan water crisis from almost 10 years ago now. That's where the local government changed the water supply source, and that resulted in lead leaching into the drinking water. Nearly 100,000 residents were exposed. Is that something that could happen here?
Absolutely not. No, we have a lot of safeguards in place here. First and foremost, our water quality, as I mentioned earlier, is not corrosive like that water source that got brought in to the Flint water system. And secondly, I'll just mention we have a team of extremely dedicated and passionate employees here in Salt Lake City, and particularly at Salt Lake City Public Utilities. Our program manager, Dustin White, is taking this role as our lead and copper program manager very seriously. He has a young child at home. He lives in a home that could have had a lead line. We all read a very good book that I highly recommend around the Flint water crisis called What the Eyes Don't See. And that really highlighted not only the technical issues related to the Flint water crisis, but some of the governance issues that resulted in that water crisis. And that is something we will not be repeating here.
Well, Laura, you mentioned how lead could have particularly bad impacts for children. And so I'm wondering if you can kind of spell out what are the health effects of lead? We know that there is no safe level of lead in our water.
Yes. So children under six and pregnant women in particular are vulnerable to impacts of lead. Children and unborn children can experience behavior problems, lowered IQ, and have learning disabilities. Other potential impacts include anemia, damage to the nervous system, and decreased bone and muscle growth. So, you know, children that young, it's such a pivotal time for their growth and development in their bodies and their brains, and lead can have an impact on a children's growth.
So potentially some Salt Lake families have been drinking out of lead service lines for decades or generations if their house has been in their family for a long time. So I guess I just want to be very, very clear. How worried should we be about these impacts?
As far as impacts from lead on our system, I don't think there's a need to be worried. We conduct triennial sampling of homes that would be the most impacted by lead service lines, and we are not finding lead in drinking water. And I think, again, that goes toward the source of our drinking water is just not corrosive, and it actually puts down a protective layer of calcium on the inside of those pipes. So I wouldn't be worried about it, but I definitely think it's important for us to remove the lead service lines on our system once and for all.
Well, thank you for trying to set our mind at ease around that contaminant in particular. But while you're here, I have a lightning round of commonly held drinking water beliefs I would like to present to you.
Wonderful.
And I know, fun, right? And I'm hoping you can help us separate fact from fiction. So I will present to you the belief and you tell me if it's true or not, okay?
Okay.
Salt Lake has hard water that needs to be filtered.
That's not true. Well, it's
which
true.
Part?
It's true that water can be hard in Salt Lake, which means that it has a higher mineral content. That's not necessarily bad for you. And so, you know, if you're concerned about public health, I don't think filtering is something that needs to happen. If you're more concerned about the aesthetics of your water, then maybe you might want to filter your water. I think we hear most about it with respect to a film that might be left on dishes in a dishwasher.
Uh-huh. Yes, all of my glasses are covered in spots all the time.
In which we recommend a rinse aid every now and then through your dishwasher. I do the same.
Good to know. You have an answer for everything. So just to be clear, it's actually the minerals in our water making it hard that is what protects us from lead leaching into it. Is that the film that you're kind of talking about that you've been alluding to?
Yeah, that hard water can precipitate out calcium in particular onto the inside of those pipes.
So, I mean, related, I should be filtering my tap water. True or false?
In Salt Lake City, that's false.
It's more of a, as you said, aesthetic thing, huh?
That's correct.
Or maybe a flavor thing.
Possibly. I think I would also point people to our website to look at our annual water quality report. We sample for more than 90 regulated contaminants, as well as contaminants that are not regulated that EPA is considering being regulated. And our water quality report speaks for itself. We meet all of the requirements under the Safe Drinking Water Act in terms of should and should not be in your water.
And Laura, you said that in our Salt Lake water system, it's not just Salt Lake City, it's Mill Creek and other cities in the valley. But I'm wondering, how does our water compare to other Wasatch Front cities?
Well, we all use similar sources for our drinking water. And it's a mix between surface water that comes from our local Wasatch Mountains and Deer Creek Reservoir, as well as groundwater, and then some central Utah project water that comes from the Duchesne River into the Salt Lake Valley. And so all of these different water providers and cities, you know, have some mix of all of those types of water sources. And so depending on sort of the proportion of the type of water that's used in a system, you'll see different water quality parameters or different tastes or different aesthetics to the water.
Got it. Okay. And so this gets to my next strongly held belief, which is something I've thought, growing up here in Utah, my tap water comes from a mountain spring.
Partially right. Your tap water in Salt Lake, 90% of it comes from runoff from the Wasatch Mountains. And that includes City Creek, Parley's Creek, Big Cottonwood Creek, Little Cottonwood Creek. And then on the Provo River system, that's Deer Creek Reservoir. So not necessarily from a spring, but directly from the streams that collect all of the runoff from each of those sub-watersheds.
Got it. Pretty close. And then by surface water, that's what you mean by surface water?
That's correct. Surface water. So we divert water from the streams directly or from the reservoir directly. That's surface water that flowed into those systems.
Okay. Do we also use wells here in Salt Lake?
We do. Salt Lake City has close to 20 active deep groundwater wells. They're typically about 150 feet below the ground surface, and they tap what's called a consolidated aquifer. And so we use groundwater primarily in the summertime to meet some increased demands on the system, particularly increased demands that cause us to have to increase pressure in our water system. So we have a number of wells. Most of those wells are situated along the east bench of Salt Lake County and feed into our system in different points of the system.
Okay. I have just a couple more ideas to present to you. Bottled water is cleaner than tap water.
That is not necessarily true.
Okay. You hear that, Mom? No.
Bottled water is not regulated the same way that the water that comes out of your tap is regulated. And so water that comes out of your tap is being provided by a community water system or a public water system that's regulated for all of the parameters under the Safe Drinking Water Act, that more than 90 contaminants and compounds that I mentioned earlier. Bottled water doesn't have that same regulatory requirement.
All right, lastly, Laura, it's safe to drink from the hose.
Well, I grew up doing it and I'm okay,
and I turned out fine.
Yeah. But I wouldn't recommend it. There could be, it's the same water that's coming through your hose, but the issue with it might be how clean is your hose.
Okay. So it's not the source. It's whether or not you've ever cleaned your hose before.
Yes. Or if, you know, you're drinking out of a nozzle and your hose was sitting somewhere where it could have picked up some kind of contaminant. But I'll say that's specific to Salt Lake City's system because we don't have a separate irrigation system. So water that's used outdoors is treated culinary water, just like the water that's coming into your tap in your house. Other water systems may have a separate irrigation system. And that, I think actually there was a situation in Utah County where some people got ill from being exposed to water coming from, I don't know if it was a hose or what, but it wasn't treated.
The sprinklers.
It wasn't treated culinary water. So if someone is listening to this and you're not on Salt Lake City's system and you're on a system that has a separate irrigation water source, definitely don't drink out of the hose because it's not treated to drinking water standards.
That's very good to know. Maybe just better to err on the side of caution here.
That's correct.
Laura Briefer, Director of Salt Lake City Public Utilities, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
Thank you, Emily.
Think your home might have lead pipes? We found a step-by-step guide for checking your service lines. Plus, Salt Lake City Public Utilities would love your help identifying problem pipes. Take their survey and request a free water sample test. Everything's linked in the show description for you. That's all for us today on CityCast Salt Lake. Thank you for listening, and thank you for considering supporting us by becoming a member at membership.citycast.fm. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Bye!